Welcome to the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast, hosted by the BYU Management Society Salt Lake Chapter. I'm Dave Austin.
And I'm Kurt Frankum.
We hope you're all safe and healthy during this difficult time. We've been doing this podcast for about a year with our monthly luncheon speakers. And due to the crisis that we're currently in, we want to change it up a little bit and start a new guest series called Voices of Light.
And we know there's a lot of people suffering out there right now, whether it is physically, emotionally, or economically. And our hope is to bring you guests who can uplift, inspire, and have honest conversations with us. We'd like to have guest interviews on a somewhat regular basis, like you're probably already experiencing, either weekly, and hopefully this can help us get through these times together.
And we are so excited to have with us today a man who needs no introduction, Coach Mark Pope. Coach, I have to ask you, how disappointed were you when all of a sudden we couldn't have March Madness?
Well, it was devastating for us. We actually found out we were in the locker room together as a team doing a quick film edit, and then we were taped and dressed and ready to go to practice. We were about to walk down to practice, and it came over the wire, and so – my guys were just devastated. And of course, we recognize this global pandemic. We recognize all the people that are being affected and hurt and in so many ways. But for our little slice of life, you know, my guys have spent their lifetime, and specifically the last 4 and 5 years as senior class, trying to chase this opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament, and falling short every year. And kind of overcome adversity and self-doubt and frustration and coaching changes and injuries. And finally they got it. And then literally, you know, 72 hours before Selection Sunday, it was shut down. And so it was really hard for our guys, man. There was a lot of tears and a lot of awkward silence. And since then, there's been a lot of frustration. But, you know, this athletics, if it teaches us anything, and if there was anything that this team really mastered this season, it's not being distracted for too long by misfortune. And so they've all picked up and are racing ahead with the next project. And that's really the only thing you can do.
Well, I have someone that told me, said, hey, you know, it gives you solace to know that you see all these projections that say BYU would have made it to the, you know, Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and even the Final Four. And I'm like, that doesn't give me solace. That's what I wanted to see.
Well, you know, the other thing that we have that we're really blessed with a gift from these players is we had so many. It was almost like, you know, you should have one of these moments a season, one of these like breathtaking kind of epic moments. And these guys packed so many dramatic storylines and last second finishes and heroics and into one season, and it seems like it's lasted for a long time. So I'm really grateful for all these great moments that we get to look back on from last season.
Yeah. So Coach, you know, have you sort of just shifted to off season mode, or how do you stay engaged and keep the spirits up during this time, or when there wasn't really appropriate closure to a season?
Yep. It's not been easy because we haven't been through this before, right? Well, none of us have experienced this. I always feel like everything that my guys experience on the court in one way or another, I've experienced in my playing career. And this is certainly not one of those. but, you know, like I said, we talk about this, you know, we talk about the game like it's a living, breathing thing. We actually believe it is. And the game is always asking you one question. It's asking you the same question every single day. And it doesn't have anything to do with what's just happened or what happened a few minutes ago or a few hours ago or a few days ago. It's asking you how you're going to respond to it. How are you going to respond? And we talked about that all season long. You know, Yoli gets suspended. How are we going to respond? Zach breaks his foot. There's no function in us worrying about how he broke his foot. The function is, how are we going to respond? TJ needs knee surgery. How are we going to respond? Alex Barcelo gets eligible. Great fortune for us. How are we going to respond? We win a bunch of games early. How are we going to respond? Yoli breaks his finger. How are we going to respond? You know, we lose at San Francisco. How are we going to respond? And that's it, right? That's really the intriguing question. I don't think anybody is interested in how we suffered or how we felt or how we did. I think people are really interested in how are we going to respond, right? And in some cases, the biggest adversity gives us the foundation where we can have the most epic responses, the responses that inspire people and motivate people and bring people to tears, right? And so you know, that's what we've moved on to is how we're going to respond and how we're going to build and how we're going to grow. And I got a whole host of seniors that are going to respond by going to have unbelievable professional careers. And I got a bunch of underclassmen and recruits that are coming in to respond to say that we're going to do this bigger and better than we did last year even.
That's such an awesome response to that question. When you think about it, really appropriate for what we're going through right now is we're going through a global pandemic, something that nobody could have ever imagined or thought could have happened. How are we responding? And, you know, you were just CBS Sports ranked you as the top hire in college basketball this last year. Where does your energy come from, and how can people be motivated in times of crisis like this?
So, I'm a huge Clayton Christensen fan. And, I actually just recent, you know, he was kind of the master of this disruptive innovation theory. And then I recently heard a podcast by, the All In podcast, where they had Whitney Johnson on, who actually has written a book and now has a podcast, Disrupt Yourself. And the reason I bring that up is because I do think that in kind of chaos, there is this unbelievable fertile soil for innovation and to rebuild something new and better. Right. And I think that's inspiring. It's interesting. We spend so much time recruiting. And I think where we have our best success recruiting is where we can capture guys' imagination about what they can become, and not just some whimsical fancy, but actually develop a plan and a groundwork and a foundation and a direction for them to actually discover themselves and become something that. Maybe seem so, so exciting that they're scared to even really verbalize it, right? We talk about that a lot. And I think that is a font of energy. I know that I am inspired by growth. I'm inspired by, like, this act of becoming. I'm inspired by transformation. I think it was Emerson that said, something, I'm going to butcher this, but it was something to the effect of that the true, the most beautiful thing in the world is when we actually are that moment of transformation, when we're going from one form to the next, whatever that is in our life, right? Where we're actually becoming and growing into a new person. That moment is one of the most beautiful, inspiring, invigorating, thrilling things. And I think once you get a chance to experience enough, you become addicted and you just can't wait to see it again and see it happen in young men's lives and see it happen in people's lives. The opportunity that we have in our tiny little slice of, life to shepherd guys through that is the best thing in the world. And so, I think that's where energy comes from. I really do.
That's
great. There's probably some scientific basis for that too, but I'm a medical school dropout, so I can't really take you down that path. I'm going to leave that to you guys to figure out.
A lot more medical school than anybody else here has.
That's right. So, Coach, as far as, obviously in the typical scenario, hopefully you'd still be, playing basketball right now. But, when you come out of a season, I would imagine you shift to recruiting mode or those types of things. So what's your day-to-day look like as far as with work, and then what routines and things are you putting in place in your life to keep those spirits up and to keep engaged on your overall mission that you have with the team?
Well, if I was going to give people a suggestion, I'd say the first thing you need to do every day is you need to get out of bed and take a shower. So that's a first step, right? The great kind of instructional book, Make Your Bed, right, is such a great thing for us right now. But I do, in terms of motivation, I just hope that people can look at this and find opportunity, right? So we've had this massive disruption, and all of our lives were on a certain trajectory, right? And with this disruption, we're all taking a step backwards. There's no two ways about it. We're all taking a step backwards from where we are. But hopefully in that process, we can actually change the trajectory. If we're good and we're smart and we do this right, we can change the trajectory of our life. So in a very meaningless example, we've been forced to do all of our recruiting on Zoom. So literally, I go from one Zoom call to the next. Why I didn't have the foresight to buy stock in Zoom, I have no idea. But you know, it's something, it's a format that we had never used before. And so if we're any good at what we do, we're going to find the ways working, for example, in a very minuscule example, working through Zoom that are actually better. There are going to be some ways we do stuff through Zoom that's actually better than we've ever done it before. And we're going to keep it and keep supplementing that, right? And hopefully when we get back to normal, we'll get back to some really important things we can't do. But we just need to find opportunities to grow. And sometimes that can be really frustrating and mind-numbing, but I do believe that it's a great way to keep us motivated. So I'm on Zoom all day recruiting. We're doing virtual campus visits. I've talked about this a little bit. I love these virtual campus visits because, you know, really what I do is I just kind of go in the war room at the office, which is our control room, and then I have my three assistants. And they each take turns at a different spot on campus. And so between the time, for example, when Coach Feger does his little presentation on a Zoom call, then he's got the time that Coach Robinson and Coach Burgess takes for him to have sprinted all the way across campus and be at the next place. So by the time we're done, they are in a full sweat panning. And it is the greatest thing is I'm just kicked back, you know, just doing my thing. But, so we spend a lot of time doing that. We're reaching out to our players every day individually. And then before the NCAA shut us down, we were actually doing Zoom workouts three times a week. Then the NCAA said that wasn't allowed. They're actually rethinking that right now. But I think our players have kind of continued that on just on their own now with no coaching instruction. One of our biggest concerns during this time of this isolation is that we weren't made to be isolated. I mean, I don't think that was the grand design. I don't think we function well in isolation for the most part. And I know the guys on my team do not function well. And so we've been really concerned about just their joy and motivation and their connection. And so we're kind of hitting them with a myriad of assignments, taking shots at them individually as a coach, trying to connect those guys with each other. And doing ridiculous things like we're doing story time with Coach Pope every Friday where these guys have to listen to me ramble on about whatever biography or self-help book I read that week.
Can we be invited to that?
Yeah, come on, man. It's actually fantastic. And then keeping the guys engaged. You know, the truth is that even though the whole world stopped, their work continues. And it's continuing in a different way. But, again, it's an opportunity for them because I'm going to tell you this right now. 95% of college basketball players are not as focused as they would have been if everything was normal right now. And so those for those 5% that stay really locked in and focused, they have a chance to outpace the competition, and that's what we live for. So, you know, that's just a little bit of what we're trying to do right now to kind of keep ourselves busy and keep our guys at work.
Coach, talk a little bit about your assistants, your three assistants. They seem like incredible men.
Yeah. They are amazing. So I'm really blessed. We have an unbelievable staff. And you don't have to look much farther than just the way that our guys are developing as players and people and the success they had on the court and the way that they're, you know, interacting with the community. But, I have three guys that are really special. A little bit of insight into what we were looking for in the hiring process. There were four things that were incredibly important criteria for me in terms of hiring. The first thing was we needed to have people that were 100% loyal to our mission, to what we were doing. And, you know, working in a public environment, especially with sensitivity to these young men, is they're putting themselves out there and everything else has to go with the program. This loyalty to the program is incredibly, incredibly important. So that was really important to us. 24/7 work is really important. That's something that was hugely important to me, that the guys that came and worked here understood that. you know, I, this could cause problems for us, but it's just the truth. And so I share it is, we have no balance in our lives. And you know, I was with a really, really wise advisor that I feel like is a counselor in my life. He's like, hey, Mark, you're not searching for a balanced life where you check every single box that's important to you every single day. If you do that, then what you're going to do is end up with a very average life. So what you're looking for is a balanced lifetime. You know, my favorite example to share to kind of illustrate this is, you know, if you're going to be a heart surgeon like President Nelson was, then you're going to go through a really incredibly rigorous medical school that's just going to be heightened in intensity once you go through residency and fellowship. And when you're doing that, there's no balance to your life. You're in the hospital 23 hours a day, and the 24th hour a day you try and sleep, and then you start over again today, essentially. But you can still have an incredibly balanced lifetime. And so for this time in our lives, we are 24/7, and fortunately our teams, our families, and our players and everybody around us is willing to kind of work with us on that project. And so that was a huge thing for me. A third thing for me was the guys were in love with the idea of growing players. Because I think growing players, players seeing that they get better is where they're fueled and where they get energy. And so I needed guys that were capable of doing that and committed to doing that. And certainly my staff does that at an unprecedented rate. And then the last thing was I needed three guys that were hungry as could be, that were desperate to become head coaches. And so I actually like that. The happiest day for me in terms of my staff is when these guys go on to take head coaching jobs. You know, because the growth is inspiring to them also, right? And if our program is working well, then everybody is going to be feeling their growth and working towards goals and being inspired by how they see themselves change through their hard work. And so my guys have actually lived up to the billing. This Cody Feger is just extraordinary. I mean, what he's getting done right now, he's driving me crazy in terms of the reach of his recruiting right now. I mean, he has tapped into every single guy that comes through this portal. And by the time I get to him, he's already talked to their AU coach and their trainer and their mom and dad. And mom is already in love with him. And they're like, this coach is the greatest guy. And all the kids are totally convinced that this is where they should be. And I just have to get on the phone and just have a simple conversation. It's over. And this Chris Burgess is you know, both those guys have been with me for the last 5 years. And Chris, I mean, you look at the work he's done coaching our guys. You know, he spends a lot of time with our bigs. And so the progress he's made with those guys is just remarkable. I would think that his approach to teaching these bigs in the context of how it fits in our system, I would find me a better developer and a more innovative and creative developer of what the big, you know, a 3-4-5 position is in today's game in the country in college basketball. I think you'd be really challenged to do it. He's just been extraordinary that way. And he's a terrific, diligent recruiter, and he's great mentoring these kids on our team. And then Nick Robinson is, you know, he's the guy on the staff that already has head coaching experience. We've been friends for a long time, and he brings a great energy to this team. And, you know, he's got a fresher perspective on a lot of things than the rest of my staff, because the three of us have been together for so long. And, you know, he's already been a head coach, and he will be again soon. He's a terrific talent in this business. And so, you know, in terms of those three assistants, man, we're so blessed here at BYU to have a staff like this. And certainly I am, because, you know, I just get to enjoy their work. So it's awesome.
So in that context of, you know, with working as a team with other coaches, how do you, like, when you're sitting in a, you know, coaching meeting with them, how do you enable them so that they feel comfortable with, you know, taking the ball and run and not checking with you on every step of the way and feeling like they have autonomy?
I'm probably not great at that yet. I'm more challenging. You know, one of the things that Coach Rose actually taught me that I think is so invaluable was, Coach Rose always talked about having your whole staff fully invested. And there's been several strains of follow-up to that sentiment as I've kind of just tried to figure out how to be a better leader and a better manager of a team. And I do think that at the heart of it, ownership and growth is really, really important for a team. And, you know, there's staffs where when this coaching cycle, in fact, it's probably more common than not, when this coaching cycle starts every spring, where there's head coaches that are you know, talking to their guys about being loyal to the program and trying to discourage them from moving on and kind of moving up and saying, hey, I gave you your start and you owe me. I think that's counter productive to what you're trying to create an environment. And the reason you do that is because when you lose an assistant, you lose all the recruiting work they've done. You lose all the relationship building that they've done. And you take a step backwards and you actually have to, it takes unbelievable man hours to try and get just back up to speed where you were originally. And so it's understandable why people are nervous about losing guys. But I think if you're willing to put in that time, it actually is the greatest thing for a program to have that growth. And so so what I have grown as my trust in my staff has grown, I spend most of my time, we'll come in the boardroom, whether it's a scout for a game or a discussion on a recruit or a discussion on personnel changes. And I just pester them with questions actually and try and play devil's advocate and try and make them prove to me that they really have dug in and they know for sure and they've really thought it through. And it's actually fun for me because I just get to try and poke holes and challenge their thinking and their evaluation and their direction. And usually my guys step up and kind of convince the room that they've really taken care of this and we're going the right way. And so that's pretty much it. I throw a lot in their laps and let them run because they're really good at what they do and then just challenge them every step along the way to the point where, you know, we're usually really heated in the war room. I mean, you know, like it gets really, you know, it can get really confrontational, but that's also what we do in sports. And you know, if as long as underlying all of that is everybody on the team knowing that we're so excited for each other's success and that's what we're really working for, I think it works. And it certainly has worked for us over the last 5 years.
Well, Coach, I know we've only got a few minutes left and was going to maybe stop it here, but I do have one additional question just because you brought up Clayton Christensen. And we've done for the last 25 years, the BYU Management Society has done a Distinguished Utahn Gala where we've honored somebody. This year, today, was actually the day we were supposed to honor Clayton. He was flying out to Salt Lake. We were tonight, in about 2 hours, we were supposed to start. And obviously, we couldn't have done that anyway with the pandemic. And also, of course, Clayton passed away. But he wrote a book that's amazing that I've read that I'm sure that that you're familiar with what, as well, which is How Will You Measure Your Life? And I guess I would just ask, Coach, how will you measure your life and how do you feel like people should measure their life?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great book, isn't it? It just challenges everything that us ridiculous type A personalities are chasing in a really, really wise way. First of all, you know, I think about, you know, I only met Clayton a couple times. I heard him speak one time at an area conference, a state conference, and I had some basketball interaction with him, but of course, I've been inspired by his work and his thinking, and it just makes you feel, it uplifts you as a person, but also makes you feel really small when you see his complete dedication to what he believes in, secularly and spiritually, and that there's no separation between the two. I mean, he is, you know, I think about the five or six people that I look at as incredibly heroic figures in my life. He is certainly one of them. And I didn't know him well. I just knew of his work. And you know, I just think about the impact that he's had on so many people. It's really, really incredibly breathtaking. And I'm actually talking about Clayton Christensen. I can't remember your question.
Oh, how will you measure your life?
Oh, yes. How will you measure life? So there we go. So I think a couple of things. I think one is, and this is just for me, but certainly, like, I think about my relationship with Heavenly Father and my Savior is quietly the foundation of everything that I do. And then I think my relationship with Leanne, we were married, you know, 20 years ago, is, I think those are the two things that are quintessentially at the heart of, like, what is going to matter to me forever. And then followed very, very, very closely with these four daughters that I've been so blessed to be able to learn from every day and get ridiculed by every day. It's so fantastic. And then probably in a larger sense, I just have this feeling like we get these little chances in our life where we can help people grow and inspire them and bring them together. Those would be the three things, right? Just in a little bit of a community sense of, if you can, you know, in a very, like, temporal sense, if people can leave the gym inspired, we did our job. And if you can help your players in a community in whatever way, in some tiny little way, to grow, to see growth in themselves and them as a team and a community, I think you've done something really, really special. And if you can leave a place, a group, a community or a team, and that group can feel a little bit more connected, just even in just tiny ways, I think that's so valuable. So I would think that's kind of the core of what's really, really important to me.
Kind of reminds me of the Gonzaga game a little bit and how connected everybody felt after that big win. So thank you, Coach. We sure appreciate you being with us, spending your time. Thank you to all of our listeners. We'll be back again next week with another episode of Voices of Light on the Moral and Ethical Leadership Podcast.